All right, so we are holding on Chof Dalet on the Bay's second line from the bottom. We talked before about cases where a person is saying Shema while lying in bed, and what exactly we said normally he should have to stick out his head, but if not, then if not, then in order to avoid that his heart and his erva are under the same cover and not without anything between them, he has to press the blanket against his heart or against his waist or whatever, against his neck. We said that would have at least that his head is not under the same cover as his erva, or we set a point to the opinion that you can't have libra yes to erva either, then he'd have to press it against his heart or against his waist or whatever in order to make a separation between his heart and his erva. So now we're going to talk more about that. Well, so what the halacha is, we'll get to soon. So, now, if a person has a talis, meaning an item of clothing, belted on his waist, so from the waist and down he's covered, but above the waist he's not wearing anything. Mutter likras Kriya Shema, he's allowed to say Kriya Shema in such a state. Obviously, ideally he should be wearing a shirt, but all he needs al pi halacha is to be covered from the waist down.
He has nothing on his chest.
Tani nami hochi hoisa talisa shal beged b'shal er b'shal sak chagura al mosnov. We learn similarly in Braisa, a person has a garment, a person has a talis, whether it's a cloth or leather or sackcloth chagura al mosnov, belted around his waist. Mutter likras Kriya Shema, then in such a case, he's allowed to say Kriya Shema. Avol the tefillah, but when it comes to saying Shemana Esrei, a person has to act like he's standing in front of the king, so there he can't just be not undressed above the waist. Adshi chases libra, he can't daven Shemana Esrei unless he covers his heart. Right, that's the halacha. So in short, in other words, you could say Shemana Esrei. Let's say you're just wearing underwear or a bathing suit or what have you. But for Shemana Esrei, you'd have to be wearing a shirt as well.
What about being in shul?
Being in shul. What about it?
You're not gonna
be in shul without. Well, why would you even be in shul?
Who knows?
The pastor's covered up. Sibur then. I don't know. The Gemara is not addressing that. Okay. V'omer avuna. What if a person forgets that he's wearing tefillin and goes into the bathroom? So we talked about this a couple of days ago on Daf Gimel. We had dinim when you're allowed to take tefillin into the bathroom, when not. Here we're talking about the person actually went in and started using the bathroom, started defecating, and then he realized that he's wearing tefillin. Maniach yodei alehen, what he has to do is he has to place his hand on them to cover them. Primarily this is talking about the shorosh, because the shoyad is anyway covered with his sleeve. So he has to put his hand over them ad shi yigmor, until he finishes so they're not exposed over there. Unless he's ad shi yigmor, stop that. What do you mean? Until he finishes everything that he's doing in there. That's a while, yeah. Ela kid omer of nachami. No, what it means is light we find in a different, like we find in a different context, that of nachami said, ad shi yigmor omud rishon, until he finishes the first omud. In other words, when you go to the bathroom, when you go and defecate, you'll have the first bit that comes out, and then after that, you sit there longer, because more is going, you're going to be pushing out more. But you have the first part that comes out is called Omud Rishon. So that you're allowed to wait until you finish that. So the question is, why? Why shouldn't they have to break off right away and stand up? The reason is Mishum Dirab Shimon Gamliel. The reason why he's not required to do that is based on what Rav Shimon Gamliel says, the Tanya Rav Shimon Gamliel. Omud hachozer, maybe it's the adam l'day hidroifon. A person does that. A person is in the middle of this omud rishon, and he pulls it back in and holds himself back. It brings a person to a disease called hidroifon. Rashi describes it as something that makes the stomach swell. In older medical books, they call it dropsy, and nowadays they call it edema or ascites, or I don't know how it's pronounced exactly, whatever. Some kind of disease where the body retains too much water. So that can be caused by a person. He's going to the bathroom and then he holds himself back during the first omud. Similarly, he says filan hachozer, when a person is urinating, and if he holds back the first stream, filan means the stream. So he holds back the stream of urine. Yeah, the stream of urine. Maybe it's ultimately that you're rocking, it can bring a person to be jaundiced. So therefore, so how that works in modern medicine, I don't know. But whatever the point is that these things are not healthy. The point is that these things are not healthy, and therefore the Chachamim are not going to require him to break off right away as soon as he realizes he's wearing tefillin. He can wait till he finishes the Omer Rishon for health reasons, then he goes out, takes off the tefillin, and continues for and then continues. Itmar. Now we have a discussion like this. Soya al Basore. Suppose a person has excrement on his skin. Now, we're not talking about, by the way, elsewhere, we want to talk about that if he has, if there's some still left around the Piyat Habas, around the anus, then not. Then for sure he's not allowed to say Shema, because then, since it's a closed up thing, like the smell of it doesn't dissipate or whatever, Piyat Habas is the anus, the rectum, whatever. But if there's soya there that's visible from the outside, then for sure he's not allowed to daven or say Kriya Shema or whatever, because since it's a closed-in, confined area, so the smell tends to persist.
If there's no smell?
Eventually, yeah. Soya always, first of all, human soya is always considered off-limits. We're going to get to that soon. But the point is, here we're talking about the soya elsewhere on his body. Or his hand is inside a bathroom. It's the meaning, Rashi said, there's a partition, there's a wall between him and the bathroom, and there's a hole in it. And he sticks his hand in through the hole into the bathroom. There's a different girsa that a number of the Rishonim have. 1 second. All right, so his hands are inside the bathroom. A different gear set that Amram and the Rif have, a gear set, yodav munachas v'etakise, if his hands are a little bit dirty from the bathroom. Meaning, so it's similar to soya al-basore, but the difference is, over here we're talking about, so there's not necessarily actual soya on them, there's just like a little bit of residue. Anyway. So Rav Huna says in such a situation a person is allowed to say Shema, and Rav Chista says not. So, there's either soya elsewhere on his body, so it doesn't necessarily smell, as you said, but it's still someplace on his body, or his hands are inside a bathroom, or his hands actually have a little bit of soya on them. So Rav Huna is saying he's allowed to say Krishma, and Rav Chista says not. Omar Rava, my time with Rav Huna. So why does Rav Huna say it's allowed? This is called a neshama to halakha. The pasuk says all souls should praise Hashem, which means neshama is related to the word neshima, which means breath. So the organs of breathing, for example, the mouth, the nose, those are what praise Hashem. The rest of the body doesn't. So who cares if the rest of the body has soya on it, or who cares if his hands are inside the bathroom? My time is Rav Chista, and why does Rav Chista say otherwise? Just give kol atzmoisa keman Hashem mikamoicha. Because you have another passage that says, all my bones will say Hashem, who is like you. So the whole body has to be involved in praising Hashem, and here it can't, because part of his body has tzoy on it.
Well, that's very strict. It means all my bones will praise you.
Yes, so therefore all his bones, all parts of his body. Well, it means, in other words, that no, we're not just comparing anything to Hashem. We're saying that all my bones will praise you, meaning that all of a person's body has to be able to be involved in davening. And in this case, he can't, because in this case, parts of his body have soy on them.
Okay.
Well, he says
all my bones. Okay.
Yeah, come on. Yeah. I mean, the parts of the body that have bones in them. Okay, so who is the halacha like? So here you have a machlokes that you're showing. You have... The Rambam and the Rish and others paskin like Rav Huna, because the Gemara uses his opinion as a basis for a question in another Gemara in Yoma, where it discusses these dinim again. So the fact that it uses it as a basis for that question implies that the Gemara assumed the halacha is like it. On the other hand, Tosfos on the previous Omer brings from Rav Chananel that no, it's that the halacha would be like Rav Chista. I, Rav Chista, is a Talmud of Rav Huna, and usually at that period in history, you go according to the Rebbe against the Talmud, but here we go L'chumra. So Shulchan Aruch brings both opinions. If a person has soya, let's say, on the inside of his clothes, that's not actually on his body, then there's more of a heker, although even then it's better for him to change those clothes. Again, all assuming that there's no smell. If there's a smell from the soya, that's something else. But
you always have to... feces inside of his body.
Inside, we don't care about. The Gemara, I think in Yuma, uses the expression, the Torah is not given to Malachim, the Torah is given to human beings. There's only so much you can do. We did learn before that for this reason, a person should be nifneh, a person should go to the bathroom before he davens in order at least that there's at least that there's as little of it as possible. But yeah, an important thing is when a person is wiping, he has to make sure to wipe enough that there's no tzoyah visible from the outside. But beyond that, what's inside the body, that we can't worry about. Okay. Fine. Okay. Itmar. So now we have another discussion. Reich rash yesh lo ikur. When you have a bad smell, that is actually coming from an actual source, meaning that there's soil lying over there and it smells. As opposed to later on, the Gemara is going to talk about ruach rasha ein lo ikur, which, for example, would be passing gas, where there's a smell, but there's no actual item that you can point to and say it's coming from this. Well, it comes from inside the body, obviously, but we're talking about, you know, it's molecules. It's molecules of gases. They're not visible. As opposed to over here, you have actual visible soya. Tosfos mentions over here that maybe since you have in those days, as we've been talking about, when they went to the bathroom, when they defecated, they would just do it on the surface of the ground. Soya would just remain there on the surface until they covered it. As opposed to by Tosfos' times, at least technology had improved a little bit, and they would have a hole in the ground. They would have a hole in the ground, like an old style outhouse. So those Tosfos says, especially since it's in the ground and if there's walls around it, then it can be considered like reyach rak she'ein lo yikur. Then it wouldn't be considered, even though there is actual tzoyah over there, but because it's in the ground and they're on the chitzis, therefore it can be considered more like passing gas, which tomorrow we'll talk about soon. Okay. Anyway. Okay. So reyach rak she'ein lo yikur. So the question is, we know obviously you can't say kudish menir. How far away do you need to be? Rav Huna Amar Mach Dalet Amos Sekoya Krishma. Rav Huna says all you need to do is go 4 Amos away, and then you can say Shema, even if you still smell it.
Yeah.
So that's all you need. It's to be 4 Amos away. Rashi says we're talking about where it's behind him. If it's in front of him, then the Gemara is going to mention soon it needs to be. It can't be in his field of vision. But if it's behind him, even though yeah. But Rav Chista Amar Mach Dalet Amos and Machin Shapasa Kareach Sekoya Krishma. Rav Chista says no, you have to be 4 Amos away from where the smell stops. So it's not just good enough to be 4 amos away from the actual soya. The smell spreads for a certain distance. You have to be 4 amos away from that. Okay. Tanya Tava says Rav Chista. In fact, we learn a brisa the way Rav Chista says it. Lo yikra adam krishma lo kineged soyas adam. Person is not allowed to say krishma not when there's not in front of soya of a person, even if it doesn't smell. The lo kineged soyas klovin, not in front of soya of dogs, the loy kineged soyas chazerim, or of pigs, the loy kineged soyas tanigolim, and also not of chickens. So chickens we'll explain in a second. The loy kineged soyas ashbosh or reicharan, in general, not in front, not next to any soya in a garbage heap which smells bad. So what it is like this: with most kinds of excrement, it doesn't. The din is you're allowed to say kriya shma near it if it doesn't smell. So the excrement of most creatures, you don't have to be 4 amos away. These particular ones that we mentioned always smell bad. Or even if they don't always smell bad, they're assumed to be, actually, some of them we're going to say, the klovim and chazirim, actually, we're going to talk about in a minute. There's a caveat in it. But in particular, human soya, always, unless the Gemara talks about elsewhere, unless it's a baby who's below the age being able to eat a certain amount of grain products, where then you're allowed to say brachas and whatever near their soya. But after that,
no.
when they're a baby, when they're being nursed on milk or formula or whatever, though, you're allowed to. The rule is like this: if it smells bad, then you're right; it's not allowed to. What it is soyas adam, even if it doesn't smell bad, this particular one doesn't have to smell bad for whatever reason. The guy's eating a healthy diet; it's still awesome. So the ones we mentioned in the Mishnah, the ones we mentioned in the Braisa are similar as opposed to other ones. So what's about the chickens? Tosfos brings a couple of possibilities. Maybe it doesn't apply to an individual chicken running around. Maybe it only means like a chicken coop, which smells really bad. When you just have a couple of chickens walk around the house, maybe there's not a problem. Then Tosfos brings another possibility from the Yerushalmi that the problem is only with tanugolim adonim, which only with chickens adonim either means from Edom or it means red.
Right.
So on the face of it means red. So one possibility, Tosfos says, I don't understand what that means. So the one explanation is because in Edom they ate a lot of barley, So therefore, the chickens would eat more barley over there as opposed to in other places they'd feed them wheat, and therefore that makes the soya smell more. With that said, in Shulchan Aruch, so the Mechaber brings this halacha about soya madomim, and the Taz and the Magen Avraham explain that it actually means turkey. That turkey's waste smells a lot more apparently than chicken's waste. Yeah. I don't know, it smells pretty bad when you do kaparis with chicken. I have no idea what it's like with turkey. All right, anyway. Fine. Okay. Continues the Braisa. The Imhoyam Mokam Gavoya Asaras Fakam or Nomuk Asaras Fakim. What if the place where the soya is at least ten Tfakim taught higher than where you are, or at least 10 Tfakim lower than where you are? Yoshib Bitsidi Vikoris Krishma, then you can even sit next to it as long as there's no smell and say Krishma. You have some posts can say it would have to be, if you're gonna say it has to be 10 tfach, and then it also has to be like a Rishos of Shabbos, it has to be 4x4 tfach at least. But others say that's not necessary. Here it just needs to be in different Rishos, and 10 tfachim is already a different Rishos. If it's not 10 tfachim higher or deeper, Marfit Maloy Enav, then you have to stay away from it until it's not in your field of vision. The chaim l'tfila, and the same thing continues the braisa. The same way when it comes to Shemona Esrei, reyach Rashi yesh leikar marches dalad amos mokam reyach the kore Krishna. So that when you have a reyach ra that has a source, so, you know, with an actual tsoya, then you need to stay away for so the chaim l'tfila, and the same thing as far as tfila. So that braisa is telling us therefore that you do have to stay away from where the smell is, because reyach rashi yesh la ikar marfik zavod amos makam reyach the kodesh krishma. You have to stay away 4 amos from where the smell ends, and only then can you say krishma. Okay, so that braisa says like Rav just Amar Rav, less hilchta ki homas nisa or b'chol hanishmaita. The halacha is not like this braisa says Rav as far as everything that it says. Ela ki hodetanya. Rather, we have the following braisa. Lo yikur adam krishma lo kineged sayas adam. Person is not allowed to say krishma not when there's human soya around. Lo kineged sayas chazerim, lo kineged sayas klavim. Not when there's soya of pigs or dogs, but only bizman shenosam l'soychan oris. But only bizman shenosam oris l'soychan if he put skins into them. They used to use in those days, they would use different kinds of excrement for tanning leather. They have in them, whatever chemicals that are good for tanning leather. It has urea, it has other stuff or whatever. In fact, actually, on this week, there's something on this week's parasha. You know, we have in this week's parasha, well, yechot kelev l'shoyne, that not a dog is going to bark when the yidden leave Mitzrayim. There's a medrash that says that one thing the dogs got as a reward for that. We know famously because of that they got that you throw tray for meat to them, kelev l'shlichon oisei. But there's also a gemara elsewhere that says because of that, dogs in particular, therefore, have this chus that their excrement is used to tan leather, that is used to tan skins that are used for writing Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzos. So nowadays I guess they use other chemicals. I mean, nowadays they know what the active chemicals are, so they might as well use those rather than the actual soya. So the point is, the braisa is saying that soya of dogs or of pigs is only a problem if you put skins into them, because then they really smell bad. But skins of animals. You put skins you take a vat, you pour in it soya, klovim or chazerim or whatever, and maybe some other stuff as well, and you put the skins in there to soak.
Why did they do that?
Because it helps. It helps with one part of the canning process. I don't know. I'm not a tanner. But whatever. You have there's different parts of the tanning process. You have to. There's a part where you have to remove the hair. There's a part where you have to. Maybe you have to make it stiffer. You have to whatever. Different chemicals are used for different purposes for that. So at one point, yeah. Okay. So the point is, Rava is saying. That's the point is Rava is saying, so as far as soya of dogs and pigs, it's only when there's skins in them, but not otherwise. Soya of a person, though, is always osur, even if it doesn't smell, because we assume it does. And then Tosfos brings that in this braisa, we didn't say anything about chickens, which implies that what we said about chickens in the first braisa is still valid. The chickens, or according to the Taz and the Magen Avraham, turkeys or whatever, you're not allowed to say krishma near their restaurant. So now they ask Rav Sheshet a question. We were talking about Reach Rashi Yeshla Iker. We were talking about where there is an obvious source of it, namely the Tzoya. What about Reach Rasha Ainla Iker Mahu? What if it doesn't have an Iker? Primarily, that means when a person passes gas. So a person passes gas, is somebody else allowed to daven or say Krishma near him? Omalahu. So he says to them, Osu Chozu Hani Kripi Debei Rav. Come look at you have the mat in the Beis Medrash. In those days, people didn't sit on chairs. They sat on mats on the ground. The Hani Gonu Vahani Garsi. Now you have, in the Beis Medrash, some people are sleeping, while meanwhile, nearby, some people are learning. When people are sleeping, they often pass gas. So you see that there's no problem. You see that there's no problem learning near that. So the Gemara says, Vahani Mila B'divei Torah. That only applies as far as learning Torah. You're not obligated to move away because of that. But when it comes to Krishma, then no. Then you have to actually stop and leave and leave the area and then continue. One idea, in other words, when you're learning, you can't expect exactly, precisely because people are sleeping there at all times, you can't expect that every second you're going to be interrupting your learning and moving. As opposed to Krishma, as a short-term thing, and people aren't going to be sleeping during it necessarily near you. So, yeah. You have a good point over there. So actually, in a base Knesset, you're not allowed to sleep, unless they made a Tanai when they built it. A base Medrash, regular people are not supposed to either, but you have Tamar Chachamim, who spend most of their day in the Beis Medrash, so therefore there's more of a heter for them to sleep over there.
You primarily just daven over there, right?
But people who spend most of the day in the Beis Medrash learning Torah, so yeah, they have a heter, so they have a heter to sleep over there. Okay. So the Divrei Torah namalei Amoran el dechavre. Even when we're talking about Divrei Torah, that you're allowed to continue, even when there was Reich Rasha in Laikur nearby, that only applies for somebody else's. Avol b'day, but if he himself passed gas loy, then not, then he has to wait until the smell goes away, and only then he can continue learning. Okay. It's fine. Now we have another discussion. Soya oivera. What happens if Soya is passing in front of a person? For example, Rashi says, let's say a person is sitting over there, and somebody else walks by with a graf shori, with a bucket that was used for a person to go to the bathroom in, where he's going to spill it out. Does that make it osur for the person to say Krishma, not the person who's carrying it, but the other one who's sitting over there, and is passing by, is he allowed or not allowed to say Krishma? Abaya ama muta likus Krishma, rabba ama osur likus Krishma. So Abaye says, where do I get that from? There should be a difference whether it's actually sitting there versus whether it's being carried next to him. It's none. So like this, we learn in a Mishnah in Masechta Negoyim. Now you have like this. A Mitzvah, we know that the different dinim of the tumah of a Mitzvah, one particular one is that a Mitzvah is a little bit like a mess in that he is able to be Mekame people ba'oyho. So a mess, we know if a mess is under an oil with a person or a keli or whatever, he makes it tame. In a somewhat similar way, although as we're going to see, there's a little bit of a difference, that a mitzvah under an oil with another person is able to make him tame. So what the Mishnah says, but it has to be, is
we're going to say in the level of tumah.
Well, no, I mean, the mitzvah is an avat tumah. The other person is going to be a rishon tumah. You have to go to the mitzvah. But yeah, the main point is, though, as we're going to see now in this Mishnah, that it's only if the Mitzvah is sitting there or standing over there, not just to be passing through. So if Tomei Oymed Tachas Ilon, if a Tomei person, the Mitzvah is standing under a tree, meanwhile a Tahar person is walking by Tomei, then that Tahar person is Tomei from having walked under the same tree. But the other way around, if the Tomei person is standing under the tree, the Tomei over, and the Tomei person is walking by under the tree, Tahar. The Tahar person remains Tahar. The fact that the Tomei is walking by is not enough to be the Tomei. Now, that's where it's different than a mess. A mess, you wouldn't have such a distinction. There you would have, even if they're just carrying a mess through under the tree, he immediately becomes Tomei. But a Mitzvah has to actually stand there. The Im Omad Tomei, if a Mitzvah stops there and stands under the tree, then the other person becomes Tomei. The same din applies to a stone from a house that had sarah. Same idea, that stone is also metame like a mitzvah himself, and therefore the same idea. If that stone is being carried under such a tree versus it's placed someplace under the tree. Okay. So therefore
you could go from a stone to under the tree?
No, in other words, well, the same way, in other words, the same principle. Imagine if you had a mess over there. Imagine you had a kezias and a mess on the ground under a branch of a tree, and somebody else is standing under the same branch is going to be coming.
Oh,
yeah. So the stone over here has the same din as the Masoda itself, so it's able to. In that sense, it's like the Masoda himself, right? Okay.
So the mess was standing on a stone, and then the mess left. And then someone comes
from
the same place.
No, because the stone. Evan Amenu got. See, we're talking about a stone from a house that had Tzaraas. The house that had Tzaraas. In some cases, you just have to take. We know in some cases you just have to take out the stone and replace them and replaster. In some cases, you have to tear down the whole house. Either way, those stones are Matame like a Mitzvah.
But that's the stone that had Tzaraas.
So either if we're talking about when the original stones have to be replaced, then it's only the ones that had Tzaraas on them. If we're talking about when the whole house has to be torn down, then the whole house.
Okay.
So the point is, Abaya says, so you see, therefore, that there's a difference between standing still versus walking. So the same thing, as far as Tzaraas, there can be a difference between standing still and walking. What would Rava answer? He says the difference. The difference is when it comes to the Masorah or the stone with Tzaraas, there it depends whether it has a Krius. This div, because the Pasuk says, Bodod Yeshiv, the Pasuk says the Masorah should live alone, outside of the Machna should be where he lives. So we see that the primary thing is where he lives, where he sits, where, fine. So Omed is Kiyoshiv, fine. Standing can be considered the equivalent of sitting, but there's a certain Krius. When he's walking, there's no kriyas at all, so you can't, it's not at all yeshe. On the other hand, here the pasuk is saying, why can't you have tzoya nearby you? Because your machna has to be holy. The whole lecha, I mean, your machna meaning your four amas or whatever, the whole lecha, and here you don't have, because the tzoya is within your four amas or within your field of vision. So therefore, it doesn't matter whether, in this case, says Rava, so it doesn't matter whether it's standing still or whether it's being moved, and that's taka the halacha. Even if men bring the Jonah, let's say, for example, you have a person that's standing near a river and a piece of tzoya floats by in the river, same problem. He'd have to wait, he'd have to stop Kriya Shema or whatever it is that he's doing until it floats by.
To recap then,
so the halacha is like Rava. Usually when we have machlokes with Abaya and Rava, the halacha is like Rava. And that's how it is over here. So indeed, tzoya iveres has the same din as tzoya that's in one place. So in practice, for example, around the house, if let's say, for example, you have, somebody just changed the baby's diaper and they're carrying it by, and if the baby is old enough for the tzoraas to be an issue, then yes. Okay. It has to be in your field of vision, and it can't be that the smell is within 4 hours of you. Right. Okay. The mouth of a pig is considered like walking tzoya. So you're not allowed to say Kriya Shema Nira. So the question is, chita. Obviously, a pig is always browsing around in and eating tzoya and whatever. Of course, it's got tzoya on its nose and mouth and whatever. So yeah, of course it's going to be. Well, no, most animals don't do that. Yeah, chaza will eat pretty much anything. So the answer is, because other animals don't. They smell the ground all the time, but here we're talking about eating it. Chazirim will have it. They'll actually, pig will wallow around in mud and soya and whatever. The answer is, lois trichas apagab the tzolik minara. Yes, but the chiddush is, even if, let's say, it just came out of the river, do you think, okay, now it's clean, there shouldn't be a problem? No, we're considering it like, as Gemara is going to talk about soon, a concept called graf shalri'i. You have a keli that's regularly used for urinating or defecating into the mouth of a chazir is considered like that. It's always browsing around in garbage and soya and whatever and eating it, and therefore even if right now it happens to be clean, it's no different than a graf shalri'i that right now happens to be clean. You still can't say Kriya Shema nearby. Okay. Soya asura. If you have a sophic, whether there is soya nearby, asura, then you're also to say Kriya Shema. Sophic, meraglayim mutarim. But if you have a sophic, whether there's urine nearby, then you're allowed to. Ikadamri, another version goes a little more refined. Amr of Yehuda, sophic soya b'bayis mutarim. If you have a sophic of soya in the house, then you're allowed to say Kriya Shema because it's not that likely that there's soya there. It's possible. And in fact, we had a few days ago that if there was soya in the house, and a person davened over there, and then he found out, so then he was careless. If it was a place where he should have had reason to think there might be, for example, there were little kids around, then he was pasheya, and he has to daven over again. But if there's only a suffix, then you're allowed in the house. But ashba asura. But if it's in the garbage heap, then it's also because in the garbage dump you often have soya. That was a common kind of place where people would go to use the bathroom.
And you have much more.
Well, that may also be, but the point is, even if you only have a suffix, whether there's there, it's still awesome. Suffix, may raglaim, that's for the ba'ashba nami mutarim. If it's only a suffix, whether there's urine there, even in an ashba, even a garbage heap, it would also be mutar to say kriyashma or whatever and daven near there. Why? Savala kihadir hamnuna. The reason why Rabbi Yehuda says that is because he holds according to what Rav Hamnuna says in this context. The Amar of Hamnuna, like Osra Torah ela kinegin omur bilvad. The Torah only asks midaraita when it comes to urine. It's only also when you're actually seeing the actual stream of urine. But other than that, if you just have a puddle of urine on the ground, for example, midaraita, you would be allowed to say Krishna near there.
It goes out when that's when you...
Well, that's also true. But even if it's right after the person urinated, then midaraita, it would still be mutter. In fact, the Rosh takes it further. The other day, we had the case where a person is davening and he can't hold himself back anymore and urine starts dribbling out. The Rosh says even there, maybe it would be mutter, because it's still not omud. It's still not an actual stream of urine. It's just an individual drop. So the reason Rav Hamnuna makes that distinction is based on what Rav Yonasan says. The Rav Yonasan Rami, Rav Yonasan pointed out, we're in the psukim that talk about not davening or saying Krishma or whatever near these kinds of things, you have like this. There's two psukim back to back in Parshas Kisei. One of them says that one of them says that the Yod Tia L'chom Echot Samachne V'yasasa Shamachot. Yod Tia L'chom Echot Samachne V'yasasa Shamachot. The first pasuk says that you should have a place, you should have a designated place outside the Machne, and there you should go out when you need to use the bathroom. Now, the implication is that all you need to do is go out there. You don't need to cover it. You don't need to do nothing. All you need to do is you go, you do your business, and you leave. And the point is, now it is outside the Machna, but Rabbeinu Yonah points out, nevertheless, you're going to have people passing by there. They may be talking words of Torah, but the implication of the pasuk is that doesn't matter. You can just have done your business, and people are already allowed to pass by right there and say Kriya Shema or words of Torah or whatever. The next pasuk continues that you should have a shovel or a peg or something among your weapons, and when you go to the bathroom, then you should use that to dig and cover your soil. The yosid means a peg or a shovel or something to dig in the ground. So you should have that together with your equipment, and then you should cover your soil. So there it implies that you have to cover it. So what is it? Do you have to cover it or do you not have to cover it? Okay, so kan b'gdolim, kan b'tanim. So the answer is one is talking about gdolim, one is talking about excrement. That you have to cover in order to be able to say Kriya Shema or whatever nearby. The other one is talking about urine. That's what we're saying. The daraisa, you don't need to cover it. Once it's already left the body and it's on the ground, then midaraisa, the Torah doesn't care about it. So we see from that when it comes to tanim, when it comes to urine, Torah only cares about not saying divrei Torah in front of the actual stream. If it falls on the ground, then it's mutter. But rabbanon who degazru b'hu. It's only the rabbanon made a gzera that when the urine is on the ground, then they're going to be gozer. The chi gozru b'hu rabbanon b'vadon. Now, when are the rabbanon going to be gozer on that? Only when there's vada urine over there. I was mistaken, like gozer. But if it's a suffix, then the chacham won't gozer on it. And that's why we're saying, that's why the distinction that if there's suffix soya over there, then you're not allowed to say krishma. We said primarily we're talking about an ashba because we're likely the soya over there. But even in an ashba, even in a garbage heap, even if the suffix may raglaim, then you don't have to worry about it. Okay. So the question is, ubavadon ad kama. Okay, if you know for a fact there's urine over there, how long do you have to wait? In other words, at what point do we say that it's not considered that it makes a difference as far as kriyashma or whatever? Amrav Yehuda Amashmur calls manshimat pichin. As long as they are wet enough to make something wet. So in other words, if you were to touch the urine that's soaking into the ground over there, and then touch that hand to something else, then something else would become wet. As long as it's still wet enough to be able to make something else wet, then it's still awesome. And Ula said the same thing. On the other hand, Gniva Meshmei de Rav Amok calls Man Shurishum on Nikr. Gniva says in the name of Rav. No, it's actually even when it's dried out, more than that, as long as you can still see a mark of it on the ground. Which would be more. In other words, so we're talking. In other words, there was a puddle on the ground. If it's soaking into the ground, so the first three Amiroyim are saying once it's gotten to the point where it's dry enough that it's not so fair, I'm an aflatiyah. Then already you're allowed to say kriyashim over there again, as long as there's no smell from it. But then Gniva is saying no. Gniva is saying in the name of Rav, no, you need more than that. You need to be that you can't even see that there ever was a puddle of urine there, completely soaked in.
The kind of name is Gniva.
I don't know the name. Gniva is mentioned in a number of places in Shas. There's other places in Shas where it mentions that he was a bit of a Baal Machloikas, and eventually he was captured by the government on some charges or whatever and executed. So he had a kapara from that. But he's mentioned in a number of places in Shas. He was a Talmud of Rav. He was one of the Talmudim of Rav, one of the prominent Talmudim of Rav.
He just comes
from
the word hidden, or?
No, Gniva Mestama is probably related to the Ganem somehow, but I don't know. Whatever, it's a name. Okay, so Gniva says that. Omer of Yosef, Shora Le Mori Le Gniva. Hashem should forgive Gniva because what he's saying in the name of Rav can't possibly be correct. So how could he be misattributing something to Rav that Rav didn't say? You have to consider Hashka, Tsoya. Now let's consider, we make a Kabachoymer. When it comes to Tsoya, Omer of Yehuda Amar Rav, and Rav Yehuda says in the name of Rav later on in the Sugya, Kivin Shekoin with Paneel Mutter, once the outside of it has formed a crust and it's starting to harden, then you're allowed to say Krishma next to it, even though it's still there. Meirag Laim, Yvoya, should it need to be said with Meirag Laim, which we just said before, are more lenient, that even if that once they're already dry, why should you be also to say Krishma because of Shuman Nicker? Amalei Abaya, but Abaya says to Rav Yosef, okay, so you're questioning what Gniva is saying on that basis. My chos is Sampataha, what makes you think that you should rely on that and say that if it's mutter by soya, for sure it's mutter by urine? Smoichaha. Instead, maybe rely on a different din. That no, when the soya has formed a crust, it's not enough yet to be able to say Kriyashma near it. Rav Baravona says in the name of Rav, soya afilu kecheres afilu, that no, even if the soya is as dry as earthenware, it's still also to say Kriyashma near it. So the question is, v'heichi dami soya kecheres, what exactly is the definition of that? Amar Rav Baravona, Amar Yechanan, kol man shel zirko ve'eina nifrecha. If it was still soft enough that you threw it and it didn't break up into pieces, then it's still considered soya, and you're also to say Krishna near it. The Ikadami calls mantra goyal of an ifrechas. Another version is that it's actually even if as long as you can roll it and it doesn't break apart, which means Rashi learns that second lashon is a chumrah over the first one. Even though maybe if you threw it, it would break, but because if you rolled it, it wouldn't break, then therefore it's still considered moist enough, and it's still also to say Krishna. But then you're going to maybe the other way around. Maybe it's actually the other way around. Maybe girl of any nefreches is less dry than zirk of any nefreches. Okay, one possibility is we're talking about, what do we mean by nefreches exactly? Do we just mean that it breaks up into large chunks, or do we mean that it actually breaks up into a powder or whatever? Okay. Yeah. So Ravina says, I was once standing as a Talmud in front of Rav Yehuda Midifti. He saw some soya on the ground or whatever. So he wanted to know whether he can say Kriyashma or Davin or whatever. So he says to me, Ayin ikorma poneo iloi. Take a look at it and see whether the outside of it has crusted over or not. Another version is he told him, check whether it has cracks in it. Once it has cracks, then it means that it's drying out. And then it would be mutter to say Krishna. Okay. So the Gemara says, my havi halacha. What's the bottom line halacha as far as this? So Rashi says, specifically the question is on Meiraglai. The question is not so much on soya, because we said soya is also daraisa, so there's more reason to be machna. The question really is on the Meiraglai. Anyway, in fact, the Gemara is going to answer about soya as well. So we have like this soya kecheres. If it's dry as earthenware, amema omer asura, mazutra omer mutaris. Amema says you're not allowed to see Krishma near it. Mazutra says you are. Omer Rav, the bottom line halacha is If it's still life earthenware, then it's also. It has to be drier it has to be more. It has to be drier than that, which we said. We said, in other words, once it got to the point where, for example, if you roll it, then it'll break up. Then already it's mutter. As far as meiraglayim, as long as they're wet. So like the three amiroyim that said before, as long as they're kefeya hamanaslatia, you don't need like Niva said, where you can't see it, where you can't see any right. trace of it, where you can't see any trace of it on the ground.
Why do you use another criteria here about rolling before we said vision and smell? Now something which is
because here we're talking about if let's say there's no smell. Well, let's say there's no smell. So the problem is because it's still human soya. It's still, let's say, in your field of vision or within your, no, we're talking about it's within your field of vision. It's within Fuamis, but there's no smell and it's drying out already. Eventually, once it completely dries out, then it's not considered like soya anymore. And now the question
is, if it has a smell?
If it still has a smell, then not. We're talking about
so
it. Because in other words, like this, if it hasn't reached this point, if it's still moist, even if it doesn't have a smell, it's still also. You need both in other words. It has to not have a smell and it has to have reached this point.
No, that I understand. Okay. But why are we adding now criteria?
Because now we're saying that the fact is there comes a point when it's not considered soya anymore. And that point, until now we were talking about whether there's a smell or whether or not. Either way, when it's soya, it's also. There comes a point when it's not considered soya anymore. And that point is.
It still may smell and it still might be disgusting.
If it still smells, then you have a problem. You're right. But if it doesn't, we're talking about the whole time if it doesn't smell. If it didn't smell, then to begin with, the only thing that was preventing you from saying Krishna near it is the fact that it's human soya. But now that it's drying out, then yeah. So that's the din. The bottom line is once it reaches, even if it's kecheres, it's still also. It needs to be drier than that. Omega glayim calls manchem akpicha. And as far as urine, it's also as long as it's still able to make something else wet. I have a contradiction on that last thing. A braisa says meiraglayim called manchem akpicha nasturin. As long as meiraglayim are able to make something wet, they're after nivlu a yob shumutarin. But if they get absorbed into the ground, or they get dry, or they dry up, then it's mutter. Now my lab nivlu dumya de yabshu. Now on the face of it, if the braisa is mentioning it got absorbed or it dried up, it means that there's a similarity between those two things. Ma yobshu de ain rishum nicker, af nivlu de ain rishum nicker, implying if they dry up, then there's no trace of it left. The same way, in other words, the implication is that absorbed into the ground would have to be there's no trace of it left. Horishum nicker, also implying that there's still a trace left, then it's also like Geneva had said, apagab de ain mapichin, even if it's not wet. So what are you telling me that's mutter once it's not mapichin anymore? And one says, okay, believe I may new and according to your svara, a meresha. So look at the first part of the braisa. It calls manchem apichanu de oser. Apparently, the first part of the braisa is saying, as long as it's makpiach et oser, ha rishum and nikar shari, implying, but if the trace of it is still visible, then it is mutter. So there's obviously something wrong with this braisa. Elma hol lekel mishma mina. So you're right. You can't derive anything from this braisa because one or the other part of it is not meduria. Either the first part used mapichin in a looser sense, and it means really even when it's not mapichin anymore, or the second part is using yob nivlu or yobshu in a looser sense, and it means even before it reaches that stage. So we can't prove anything from this braisa. Okay. Thing was is leimah katanoi. Would we have to say? Can we say that this is actually a machlokas katanoi? By the way, nivlu and yobshu, Rashi explains, nivlu means, for example, it's on the ground and it gets absorbed in. Yobshu would be, for example, let's say it was on stones, it was on stones or something and it just dried up. Mapich means it can still make something else wet. Okay. So leimah katanoi, would we have to say that this is actually machloikas tanoi? A keli, that there was urine in it, and then the urine was poured out. Also liquid kriyashma kenegdu, you also have to say kriyashma nekdu. If the actual urine itself that was spilled out, if it was absorbed into the ground, then you're allowed to say Kriyashma there. If not, then not. Rabbi Yossi calls Manchem Apichin, and Rabbi Yossi says, as long as it's Mapiach. So my Nivlu, my Lo Nivlu, to come with Tanakama. What does the Tanakama mean when he says absorbed or not absorbed? Ilema Nivlu means the Ein Mapichin, and Lo Nivlu means the Mapichin. Does he mean that it's considered absorbed once it's not Kefeach Amanas Latiach, and it's not considered absorbed when it still is? But also Rabbi Yossi, the Lema calls Manchem Apichin, or the Oster, Hori Shuman Nikar Shori, and then Rabbi Yossi is saying as long as it's Mapichin, but even though you can still see a trace of it, Tanakama, then Rabbi Yossi is saying the same as the Tanakama. Ella, so it must be Nibla U Dain Rishumanmaker. It must be Nibla U means that there's no trace in the left. Loi Nibla U means even though Rishuman Nicker, so it's not completely absorbed because there's still some trace of it left. But also, Rabbi Yossi B'nai calls Manchema Pechanu de Oster, how Rishuman Nicker Shari. And then Rabbi Yossi argues, and there's more Makel, and says even if Rishuman Nicker, it's no problem, unlike the Panakama, only when it's not Pechan would there be a problem. So it would come out, therefore, that this question of whether it's Mapichan or Rishuman Nicker, what we had among the Amoraim before, would actually be a Machlokas among the Tanoim. Not necessarily. Both of them might agree that it's Mafichin and Rishuman Nicker. All this time we've been using the word Mafichin, meaning that can make something wet. But does it actually have to be so wet that, as we said before, that if you were to touch it with one hand, for example, and then touch that hand to the other hand, would the other hand be wet? So therefore, so the Tanakama would say that it's only author of Tefeah HaManas Latiach. Rabbi Yossi, unlike we thought before, Rabbi Yossi is coming to be Makel, here we're going to say Rabbi Yossi is coming to be Machmer. As long as it's Tefeah, as long as you would touch it and still feel wetness, then it's also even if that wetness is not enough to transfer to something else. So that's that then. So the bottom line is, so those are the various halachas involved with saying Kriya Shema when there's urine or tzoya nearby. So the bottom line is, again, if there's a smell, then you always have an issue. You have to be 4 amos away from the smell. Otherwise, unless there's no smell, then in the case of Meiraglayim, then there's less of an issue. And in the case of Tsoya, then you have to be 4 amos away from it until it dries out to the point that we said. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Yorad Litzpoil, that if a person is going down to Tovel, and so he's in the water, so we said, Im Yachal Lalas Chula, we said if he's able to get out of the water and get dressed before Netzachama, then he should do that. Otherwise, he can cover his body with the water and say Kriya Shema while he's in the water. So the question is, Lema Tana Stama for Rabbi Eliezer. Do we have to say that here we have a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Eliezer? Yom Adar Netzachama. He said in the first paragraph that the time for saying morning Kriya Shema is till Netzachama. Here the Mishnah seems to be implying that, because it's saying that if he's not going to be able to make it out of the mikveh and to get dressed by Netzachama, then he has to say Shema in the mikveh. Now the thing is, we have a rule that says that within one Masechta, if you have a Machloikas Tanoim, and later on in that same Masechta, you have a Stam Mishnah according to one of those opinions, then it means the Halacha is like him. So here that would mean the Halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer. The answer is after the Tamer of Yeshua. No, because our Mishnah could even go according to Rabbi Yeshua. The Dilma Kavasikin, because maybe our Mishnah is not saying what he has to do in order to be able to say Kriya Shema. It's true, he does have 3 hours later in the day to say Kriya Shema, like Rabbi Yeshua says. But we're talking about over here where he wants to dive in like the Vasikin. Where he says that the Vasikin would finish Shema as right before Netzachama, so that they could immediately go into Shemana Esri at Netzachama. So here we're talking about that situation. That he wants to be able to say Shema by Netzachama. Okay. So then we said he's allowed to do that in the mikveh. Okay, so we said that if he's able to do that, then if he's able to get out of the mikveh in time, then good. The imlavi skasa b'mayim l'yikra. If not, then he should just cover his body with the water. In other words, he goes into the water up to, we assume, means up to his neck. And then he says Shema.
So that's only if he wants to say Shema by neck.
Now, this kind of thing, though, is negeya for a different purpose. For example, when a woman is toveling, you have, when did she make the bracha? There are minhagim, I think, that she actually makes the bracha before she goes into the mikveh. But I don't remember which kehilas, it's an Ashkenazi versus Sephardi thing, but I don't remember which one is which. But on the other hand, then there's a big hefsek between the bracha and the mitzvah. So therefore, you have posting, let's say, that she should make the bracha in the mikveh. So then in that case, the same thing. She has to cover her body with the water of the mikveh. And she also, as you said, she puts something over her. She puts a towel or something on her head. So the question is, don't you have an issue, though, as we said before, that his heart sees the erva, and his heart and his erva are under the same covering? So it's one thing, for example, if in other words, we discussed before, for example, a person is lying under the blanket, and we said that he has to hold the blanket against his against his waist or against his heart or whatever in order to make a hefsek. So over here, you don't have that. Here, what we're talking about is where the water is cloudy. It's dirty water. The damu ka'ara smichta, so therefore it's the equivalent of being in solid ground. Shalayira libayavata, and therefore his heart is in fact not seeing the erva. So in other words, we're talking about that dirty water.
That he's in?
So that he's in. He's toveling in dirty water, yeah.
Which cloud?
Why is it considered separation?
Because if the water is clear, the problem is that an effect you have as far as seeing is erva. No, he himself, you're right. So one explanation is we're talking about he himself is looking up or in a different direction or whatever, because if he's looking down towards his erva, then you have a problem with that anyway.
Right.
But no, what we're talking about is, forget about his eyes for a moment. Consider his heart. His heart is under the same covering as his erva. Shouldn't you need to have some kind of separation, like a garter or something? And the answer is that we're talking about if it's cloudy water. So then the water itself is considered a separation. It's considered like dirt, therefore. Right. But if it's clear, then not. So actually, in Shulchan Aruch it says if it's clear and the person has no other alternative, then fine, he can put his hands like this to make a separation, or put his hands by his waist. Okay. Turn it up on a mind swollen Yeshiva and Savori Lakore. So we learn in a bracket. What if a person is in clear water? Then he should sit in it up to his neck, so his head is out of the water, but the rest of his body is in the water. Lakore, and he can say Shema. The Yesh Omen Oichron Beragloi. Yesh Omen, that's not good enough. He has to stir up the water with his foot. You know, McVoy's or whatever they told in those days, they didn't have tiled floors like now. The floors of them were dirt and mud and whatever. So you can kick up with your feet a little bit and kick up some mud and whatever to make the water dirty and cloudy. So the question is, so what does the Tanakama do with the fact that his heart is being the erva? No problem. The Tanakama holds there's no problem with that. Say, what about those heel? Sees the erva. Now Rashi explains that what it means is the Gemara at this point is thinking that any erva that's not usually under the same covering as the erva would be a problem. So the Gemara is mentioning his heels as an example, but in fact it would mean other parts of his body as well are under the same covering as his erva. People usually walk barefoot in those days, or they wore shoes, but the shoe their clothing doesn't go all the way down to cover their feet as well. So in fact, that's also Platon talked about the other day when we talked about the case where the person is lying under the blanket and saying Krishna. The Gemara didn't ask over there about his heels because the Gemara assumed he has his feet outside the blanket because people usually sleep with their feet uncovered. But
what about David Amir then? He saw his erva when he went in the
So that's the question is over here as far as saying Shema. That's why David was bothered. He says, when he's going to the bathhouse, he realized, what am I going to do? I can't do mitzvahs when I'm undressed. And then he realizes that he has a bris mila with him all the time.
But he still couldn't do Shema.
That's fine, because we're not saying that he could. So the question is, in this case, so the person being inside the mitzvah, if the water is clear, so we're saying, according to the Tanakama, fine. Liber roya se'erva, the Tanakama holds his mutter. But what about Akeva roya se'erva? What about his heel? One explanation. Because the heart can't see either. No, it means it's under the same. It's in a direct line of sight. It's in a direct line of sight there. Some of them, of course, can explain. Actually, Tosfos mentions over here, in connection with later in the Gemara, that there's a little more of a problem with the heel than with other parts of the body, because a person can bend their feet and their heel can actually sometimes touch the erva, as opposed to other parts of the body, is less of an issue. So therefore, the Gemara is focusing on the heel. The answer is kasava kever, right? Yes, every motor. Okay, so the Tanakama of the Brisa also holds, and apparently that even if his heel sees the erva is also motor. Well, but again, usually the heel though is covered by something different. It's covered by a foot. It's covered by a shoe or something. So now let's talk about that. Akeva roya se erva mutter. If the okev, if the heel sees the erva, then it's certainly mutter to say Krishna. Negea, what about the heel is actually touching the erva? So a person has his leg bent, and his heel is actually touching his erva. Abaya oma also v'rova oma mutter. Rav Zvid masnil l'hoshmaita hochi. Rav Zvid learned the discussion as follows. Rav chinin abredi rav ikka. So he learned it as follows, that it's machloikas abaya and rova. If it's touching, and the machloikas is if it sees it. Rav Chinin Abreder of Ikka Masnil HaHofi. On the other hand, Rav Chinin Abreder of Ikka learns as follows. Negea Divrei Hakol Osur. If the heel is touching the erva, then for sure it's Osur. The reason is, Tosfos says, because then we make a Gzeira that he might, instead of his heel touching it, he might touch it with his hand, and that would for sure be Osur because of the hero. The heel also causes a certain degree of hero. Negea, he learns that the machlokas is, Roya, he learns that the machlokas is, it sees it. Abaya Oma also Rava Oma Mutter. Because Rava says, Lo nitna Torah Malachi Asharis, the Torah is not given to Malachim. Look, Malachim don't have an Erga, we do. There's only so much he can do. The bottom line halacha is, Negea also Roya Mutter. It is also if the heel is touching the Erga. It's not also if it just sees it, if it's just in a direct line of sight with it.
If it's something else,
also I think it talks about in Shulchan Aruch, let's say, for example, a person is not wearing underwear and it's lying on his leg or something, you have an issue with that also, because there's a bit of an issue of hero.
Just using
the heel as an example. Right? Okay. Getting back to Tsoya, Omar Robert, so far we've been talking about Erva and we've been talking about Tsoya. You're not allowed to say Kriya Shema when there's Erva nearby. We talked about that on Daf Gimel and Miyakani, and also Chav Dalet rather, and not when there's Tsoya, which we've been talking about on this day. So there's a difference between them, says Rava. Omar Rava, Tsoya ba'ashoshes. If you have Tsoya that is hidden, but that not hidden, that is behind an ashoshes, meaning an ashoshes literally means a lantern, but it means, in other words, a glass partition. So you have a pane of glass between you and the Tsoya. Muta liquis, Kriya Shema Shkenegda, then you're allowed to say Kriya Shema even though you see the Tsoya. Of course, as long as there's no smell that reaches you. Erva ba'ashoshes, but on the other hand, if the erva is behind the glass, also liquors Kriya Shema Kenegda, then it's also. Soya ba'ashoshes, mutzah liquors Kriya Shema Kenegda, because it's soya b'kisui tali milsa, because by soya, the primary thing is the Torah wants it to be covered. Because it's what we said, I don't know what Aleph, we brought the pasuk, the shavta b'chisisa, as te'asecha, you should cover it. Okay, good, so it's covered. V'ha'machasne, so it's covered. Erva ba'ashoshes, also liquors Kriya Shema Kenegda, because there the pasuk says, v'lo yir'e b'cha erbas davar. There it says, he Hashem, should not see in you a matter of erva, Omar Achman of Hakam Eschazi, and here you can see it.
What
does it say that? These are psukim in parshas Kiseise. When it talks about the dinim, that a person has to go, we said before, we brought psukim on Omar Aleph, that a person has to go outside of the machnes, to go to the bathroom, and cover it, so the pasuk finishes. It's all based on that. So the pasuk finishes off with a yira b'cha erva davar. So we see that erva is also included, and we see that there it's a matter of being able to see it or not. Okay. Omar Abaya. Soya kosher, if you have a tiny amount of soya on the ground, let's say, mevasla b'roik, you can be mevasla by spitting on it, and then you can say Kriya Shema there. Omar Rav over roik over, it has to be thick spit, so it actually hides the soya.
Of course it can't smell.
Right, of course it can't smell.
No, it can smell, but the tiny amount of the saliva can cover...
So that's right, it has to be thick saliva, and then it'll cover it. Omar Rav, soya b'gumma, here's another bin, what if there's soya in a hole in the ground? He's allowed to cover the hole with his sandal and then say Kriya Shema. We don't say in that sense, in other words, that the sandal is bottled to his foot and therefore it should be considered like a tsoya within his four amos. No, the sandal is considered a good covering for it. In this connection, tsoya dvuka b'sandolei mai. What if the tsoya is actually touching his sandal? So let's say it's not quite so far down in the hole. So when he puts his sandal over it to cover the hole, then some of it, then it touches his sandal without the other. Okay, cool. So we don't know, and therefore you have to be machmir. Okay. Amen of Yehuda. Akum orim. If you have a naked goy, also liquors Kriya Shema Kenegda. You're not allowed to say Kriya Shema near him. The question is, my akum afili yisrael nam. What do you mean only a goy, and you'd be allowed to if it was a Jew? The answer is no. Yisrael pshitah leid aser. No, a Jew of Yehuda didn't even have to mention. Of course, it's aser to say Kriya Shema or dvarim shebekdusha when he's undressed. But a goy, why would be different? El akum, it's trichalei, the chiddush he had to mention is about a goy. After all, you have a pasuk that says their flesh is like the flesh of donkeys. So therefore, you would think, maybe therefore, a goy's body should be considered in that sense like a donkey. And you would be, it means, in other words, exactly what it sounds like. You're allowed to say Kriya Shema when there's an animal nearby. It means, in other words, because the fact of the matter is that they're not completely on the level of what a human being should be. Because in fact, you haven't to the point where it looks like, to the point where it can be compared to. We have, for example, Amad Dorim Lachamur. We say that to a certain extent they're comparable to donkeys. But yeah, So we would have thought based on that topic, therefore, there's no issue with their error. No, the chiddush is, therefore, if Yehuda wants to tell us that even a goy's erva is considered erva, because you have in the story of Noach over there. Noach is a goy, he's before the Jewish people, and by him it says that Shem and Yefes, when they went to cover him, they didn't see their father's erva, so we see that it's still called erva, even though it's from a goy. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah, "Vloy skastol l'mayim aroyim v'loy b'mamish." Where we said a person is not allowed, when a person is toveling, he's not allowed. We said he can say Shema while he's in the water, but not if that water is mayim haroyim, not if it's water that has a bad smell, or mei hamishra, or water that's used to soak flax, which also smells bad. Ad shiyata l'soich mayim, unless he pours water into them. The question is, how much water are you expecting him to pour into? If you have enough water over there to tovel in, you're talking about a substantial amount of water. You need a lot of clean water in order to be mevatele. And the whole point is, he wants to say Shema before Netzachama. If he has enough time to pour in that much water, then he has time to get out and get dressed. Now, what it means is, Ela Hoki Kama. Yeah, so you're right. What the Mishnah means is like this. Lo yiskasa lo gamayim aroyim v'lo b'mei mishra klal. You're not allowed to cover yourself with mayim aroyim or mei mishra at all. To say Krishna, because those things smell and you're not allowed to. Umeiraglayim, what if there's Meiraglayim nearby, a little bit of Meiraglayim nearby, in a keli, let's say, Ad Shiyasa, will say Chamayim B'yikra, then you can't say Shema unless you pour water into them to neutralize them. So now, turn it up on a Kama Yasa, will say Chamayim, how much water do you need to pour into the urine to neutralize it? Koshu. So the Tanakama of the Brisa says, even a small amount of water. Rav Zakeh Omer Revias. So Rav Zakeh says you need a Revias of water. That machloikus is only if you pour in the water afterwards. So you have the meiraglaima there, and now you're pouring in some water, then Rav Zakeh says you need a revius. But if you started out with there was water in there, then everybody would agree that kol shehein is enough, because then as the urine is pouring into there, each bit, each drop that comes in is neutralized. Rishin, rishin, bottle.
According to vision?
No, we're talking about, again, when there's no smell. So therefore, even though you only had a little bit of water in there, and there's much more urine than water, but nevertheless, each drop of urine, as it falls in, becomes bottled, and therefore it becomes bottled. Rav Yosef, that's according to Rav Nachman, Rav Yosef says, no, the other way around, machlokas achchila. The machlokas is if the water is there first, do you need a revius or not? Aval of a soif, different hack or revius. But at the end, when you're pouring in water afterwards, everybody would agree that you need a revius, says Rav Yosef. And that's the halacha. In Shulchan Aruch it says, what it means is a revius for each one time of urinating. So one person urinated in there, you need one revius. Two people, two revius in. And so, not two people, whatever, two times that someone urinated in there, then you need two revius, and so forth. Omalei Rav Yosef l'shamay, in fact, we find Rav Yosef says to his shamish, I see the revius to debaya, bring me a revius of water, meaning to pour into the keli first before I urinate in it. Rav Zakeh, like Rav Zakeh. In other words, that he held the halacha is like Rav Zakeh, that you need a revius even if it's there at the beginning. And that's the halacha. You need a revius whether betchila or besuch.
Even if you have a big pool
of what? Of urine? Again, that's what we're saying. It's one revius per time that a person urinated there. If you have a pool, it means many people urinated.
No.
So then you know.
If you have a pool of urine, one time urination.
Then you can pour a revius, the water into it, and as long as it doesn't smell, then that's good enough. Okay. Turn it on. Grafsho re'iv avich al meiraglayim. A grafsho re'iv is a container, a bucket or whatever that people defecate into, or an avich is a similar thing, as a bucket that somebody that people urinate into. Rashi says it's basically the same thing. They just happen to have different names. Graf versus avich. Also, licorice kriyishma. For negdans, you're not allowed to say kriyishma near them because they're designated for this purpose. So even if right now there's no urine or soya in them, it's still awesome. Meiraglayim themselves, you need to put water. You need to put water in them and to neutralize them. Kama yapol sechemayim kolshu. Rav Zakeh Omer Revias, as we said before, bein lifnei amita, bein la'achar amita. All of the supplies, whether the grass or the ovis is in front of the bed, meaning that it's right there next to him, or whether it's behind the bed, or whether it's behind the bed, even if you have the person's bed and the grass or the ovis is on the other side of it, so the bed is between him and it, it would still be offered. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, La'achar amita koder, lifnei amita enei koder. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, if it's behind the bed, then you are able to say Krishna. Only if it's in front of the bed, you're not allowed to. Ava malchukur, ava amas koder, but you can move away four amas, and you can move away four amas and say Krishna. The Gemara is going to point out soon what that's referring to. Rav Shimon Elazar Omer, I feel a bias mea amas. Rav Shimon Elazar says, no, even if the house is 100 amas in size, lo yikra, you still can't say Shema in a house that has such a thing, built in a room that has such a thing in it, actually you see him, actually nechem tachas amita. He has to take them out, or he has to put them under the bed. And then when they're under the bed, then it can be considered as though it's buried in the ground, actually says. Okay. Fine. Thus far, the Braitha. Ibaru, heichi ka amar. What does the Braisa mean about this? When Rav Shimon Gamliel says behind the bed, and then he says four amos, what does he mean? Acha mita koda miyad. Does it mean that if it's behind the bed, so the bed is between him and the grach, then he's allowed to say Kriya Shema without needing to move away at all? Lifnei amita mafik aba amita koda. But if it's in front of the bed, it's between him and the bed, then he needs to move four amos away. Or maybe what he means is acha mita mafik dalal amita koda. Maybe he means even if it's behind the bed, you need to be at least four amos away. Lifnei amita in a koda kol. If it's in front of the bed, you can't say Kriya Shema in the room at all. So what is it? Toshma Adetanya. Well, we have in the Braisa. It continues. Rav Shimon Elazar, Acha Mita Koda Miyad. If it's behind the bed, he can say Shema right away.
You see it or you don't smell it?
We're talking about you don't smell it. So, right. So, but the question is, it's still there.
Yeah.
So Rav Shimon Elazar, Acha Mita Koda Miyad. Rav Shimon Elazar says if it's behind the bed, you can say Kriya Shema right away. Lifnei Amita Machak Aba Amos. If it's in front of the bed, you need to be at least 4 amos away. Rav Shimon Gamliel, I feel a bias may amal lo yukra abshi yasi emoshi anichim takas amita. And Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, even if the house is 100 amas in size, you have to take it out, you have to put it under the bed. So obviously, therefore, it means our second alternative is correct. Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying that if the obvious, if the grass is in front of the bed, then you can't be in the room at all. If it's behind the bed, then fine, you can be 4 amas away.
If you can adjust your position, fine.
If you can't, yeah. Okay, so Gamliel says, fine. So that answers the question. Okay, so we've answered our question. We now know the difference, what Rav Shimon Gamliel says. But you have a problem with the two braises, because in the first braise, Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying that you can say Shema in the same house, and Rav Shimon Elazar is saying even if it's 100 amos, and in the other braise, it's the other way around. So what does each one hold? The answer is Epoch Bas Braise. You're right. You have to flip around the opinions in the second braise. So the question is, ma chozes the afkat basraisa? What makes you think that you should flip around the second braisa? Eko kamaisa, maybe you should flip around the first braisa. The answer is, man shamat le d'omna kule bayis tava amas dami. Which tana do you find holds of this concept that the entire house can be considered like 4 amas? Rav Shimon Elazar. That would be Rav Shimon Elazar said that. Rashi says, I don't know where that is. There's other Rishonim refer to something in Eruvin where he says something somewhat similar. Anyway, so he holds that a whole house can be considered like 4 amas. So therefore, obviously, he must be the one who says you can't say Shema if there's a grach or an ovik in the house, in the room at all. Whereas Rav Shimon Elazar, Rav Shimon Gamliel wouldn't hold that. Okay. So we mentioned the bed. Amar Rav Yosef, boy me name Rav Huna. I asked Rav Huna the following question. Mita pachas mishloisha, if the bed is less than 3 tefachim tall, pshitali de kolavu dami. There's no question that if you put the grass under the bed, then it's considered like lavu, it's considered attached to the ground, and therefore you're good. What about shloisha aba chamisha shisha shiva shmona tisha mahu? What if the bed is between 3 and 9 tefachim tall? What would be the din? Amalei lo yadayna. And Rav Huna says, I don't know. Asura vada lo miboyu. Rav Yosef says, when he was telling this over years later, that 10 I had no reason to ask about. Obviously, if the bed is 10 tefachim tall, then it's osur.
Then it's not considered covered.
Then it's not considered covered because you have between 3 and 10, right? Omar Abayah, Shafer Abdes lo miboyu. Lost Abayah says, yeah, you did well in not asking about 10. Kol asura, Rishur Dachriti. 10 is already considered a different Rishur. And obviously, therefore, you can't, if you put the graph under the bed, then you can't consider that's hidden by the bed then. Omar Rabbah, Hilch the Pachas Mishloisha Kalavud. I mean, the bottom line is, less than 3 is Lavud. Asara Rishut Achrisi, and if the bed is 10 Tvachim tall, then it's a separate Rishut. Mishloisha Adasara, Heinu Debarmine Rabbi Yosef Ben Huna, Vele Pasha. Between 3 and 10 is what Rabbi Yosef asked Rabbi Huna, and he wasn't poshed yet, so we're not sure. Okay. Who is the halacha like? Between the Chachamim and Rav Shimon Elazar and Rav Shimon Gamliel that we asked about before, about the graph and the ovid. Amar Rav, halacha k'Rav Shimon Elazar. So you can't say Shema if the graph or the ovid is anywhere in the room, even if it's more than 4 amas away. V'chein amar Bali, amar Rav Yaakov, brother of Shmuel. So also Bali, said, that was his name, said in the name of Rav Yaakov, the son of the daughter of Shmuel, as we talked about before, that Shmuel's daughter was raped by a guy, et cetera, et cetera. Halacha k'Rav Shimon Elazar, that the halacha is like Rav Shimon Elazar. On the other hand, Rava says that not the halacha is not like Rav Shimon Elazar. The halacha would be like Rav Shimon Gamliel.
And therefore,
the halacha would be like Rav Shimon Gamliel that you're allowed to if it's in the house as long as you're 4 amos away from it or it's behind the bed.
Regardless of the size,
in other words, even if it's a larger house, then it doesn't matter. You're more than 4 amos away, it's okay, even if you're in the same building. Okay, that's the halacha.